for the rest of this service, can we give him our very best?
Can we just lift our hands to God? We worship you, Jesus. We love you. We thank you, God. I pray, have your way in this service. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. Oh, I just want to take a minute. I know we got to move on, but I just want to take a minute and thank him. God's been so good to us. He's a merciful God. He's a mighty God. There's not a one of us that belong in this house today, but it's his mercy and his grace, and I would be the first one to say that I don't belong to be in his house. I don't deserve to be in his house, but I'm so thankful that God had mercy in my life. If you would turn with your, in your Bibles, or it'll be on the screen, to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. I'm thankful to be in his house. I have carefully sought God for this service, and in much prayer, I had originally felt to go a different direction, and then a little while earlier this morning, I began to feel a pull in this direction, and I did not know anybody that was going to be here today. I sometimes all hear perhaps my mom or different ones say, you know, that this is who's coming on the bus, or this is who's supposed to be there, but I didn't know any of that today. Today I never came across that, but as I began to study and I began to just pray about this service, I spent time carefully praying about this service, I began to feel that God strongly put this on my heart, and I believe it's because someone, maybe it's just me in this place, needs to hear this. God, somebody's been looking, somebody's been seeking God, and I believe God has a word in this house today for somebody. And so if you turn with me, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, I'm going to read it out of the ESV. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me." Let's ask God to help us today. God, humbly I come before you. God, I ask that you would help me. I am not capable on my own, O God, of delivering your word, but I pray that you would help me to offload this burden that you've put on me, God. I pray, help me to convey it in a way that we get it, God, and that we would leave today different and changed than how we came. Let someone leave with hope. Let someone leave restored. Someone leave with the Holy Ghost, I pray, at this service. Humbly we ask it in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Probably one of the most well-known children's stories that I hear even my sister now reading to her kids, I had it read to me as a kid, probably all of us have heard this, was that story of the three little pigs. As with most of those old-time children's stories, there was always a lesson in them or something that could be learned from them, and if you haven't heard it for a while, I won't read the long version, but I want to quickly just run through this. It talks about these three little pigs that set out to build themselves houses. And the first pig was lazy and didn't want to take time to build his house correctly. And so he shortcuts and decides to use straw to make his house. The second little pig is lazy too and builds his just out of sticks. And they begin to spend the rest of the day just playing and goofing off. But then there comes the big bad wolf. And he knocks on the door and says, little pig, let me in, let me in. And that famous line, the little pig answers, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin will I let you in. And so the wolf huffed and he puffed and he blew the house down. And that little pig escaped. This was the little pig that had his house built of straw. He escaped and ran to the house that was made of sticks that his other pig had built. And the same thing happens. The wolf shows up again and says, let me in, let me in. And the response is once again, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin will I let you in. So the wolf again huffs and he puffs and he blows the house down. Now that third little pig was smart because rather than just playing and goofing off during the day, he had been busy building his house with bricks. And now he's finished it, and he's just about to go inside for the evening. And these two other little pigs come flying up the road. And they all squeeze in and slam the door right as the big bad wolf gets there. And he knocks on the door and says, "Let me in, let me in." And the response is again, "Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin will I let you in." And he said, "Fine, then I'll blow your house down." But he huffed and he puffed and he huffed and he puffed, but he couldn't blow the house down. So he said, "I'll come get you if I have to climb down your chimney." But that third little pig had been boiling a huge pot of water on the fire. And when that wolf climbed down the chimney, he fell in the pot of water, and the pigs cooked him for supper. Now, I know that's just a kid's story. That's not a real story. But can I tell you that it relates to life? I have not heard this story in a long time, and maybe it was when I was at my sister's house, and I heard her reading it to her daughter. Maybe that's when I remembered it, but it just kind of played in my mind, and it's like in my mind it began to put a picture of how it really is in life. You see, good decisions or bad decisions often will decide how your life ends up. And the most important piece of that is that we get the privilege to choose what we let in our house. The pigs did the right thing in not letting the big bad wolf in the house. We know that story would have ended with them all being eaten. But it does matter how we build our house, and it does matter the materials that we use to build our house. And when you combine good building materials with good decisions, you can resist the devil. The devil and our flesh work together to try and come against God's will for our life. Your flesh will try and take control and lead you in a path that is directly opposite of heaven every time. But we have the ability, thank God. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." The next verse says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." The effectiveness of our resistance to the devil, though, can be greatly affected by what we have allowed into our hearts and our minds. If you resist him long enough, he will flee. I have witnessed this. I have done this in my own life. Times that the pressure and the temptation and the devil's just weighing on me. And if you resist long enough, and if you pray, and if you will ask God to help you, you will watch him leave you alone. Hey, the devil has a very short attention span. He doesn't tend to hang around very long. It's quick. He tries to put pressure on you, but he doesn't want to hear you pray. The devil doesn't want to hear you begin to sing songs to God. The devil doesn't want to be around that stuff. So when you start to do that, the devil will leave. He'll flee, and he'll pick a different day to come back. And when you just finished fasting or you just left a red-hot prayer meeting, it's a lot different than if you've got worldly music playing in the background, hanging around with some worldly friends when the devil shows up. It's different material. It depends what house you're hanging out in. Common denominator between whether I'm in a prayer meeting and on fire for God, or I'm in the world and I'm hanging out with my worldly friends, the common denominator is the devil is still going to show up. And at some point, you're going to have a knock on the door, and you're going to have to choose whether you're going to resist him or not. At some point, you're going to hear a knock on your door that is trying to come in, and you're going to say, "No, I don't want that." But my question is, will the house stand? Will the material that you're in, that thing that you safeguarded yourself in, will it be able to stand when the devil shows up? And as he tries all his different tactics to get in, he's always trying to find another method, another way to come in, and another temptation, and another vice, however it is that he can try and get us off track. Will we be full of strength and righteousness, or will we be full of carnality and weak in our spirit? He doesn't give up easy. And if we're weak and burdened down with the carnality of our flesh in this world, we will not have the strength to resist him. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, he's talking to the Pharisees, the church people that were so high and mighty and so righteous and so perfect. He said, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things?" Now watch this. He said, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. What I ingest in my mind and in my eyes and in my ears eventually is going to end up in my heart. Eventually, what I've been watching and what I've been listening to and what I've been hanging around is going to come out on the outside. That's why that I try to limit as much of the media entertainment in this world that I can. YouTube is powerful. It's got so much value in a lot of ways. But can I tell you, it also has a lot of things you better be careful with, because it can take you to places that you don't want to go. Social media, is it in and of itself? Is it evil? No. But if we're not careful, we can get wrapped up in something that is bigger than us, and the influences, the negativity begins to pour in to our life, and we sit here passively just letting these materials come in to our house. Why is it that when we were little, we had our parents tell us to stay away from certain kids at school? Why was it that our parents would say, "You don't need to hang out with Johnny. Johnny's a bad influence on you. Johnny does things that aren't right. Johnny's always getting in trouble. Don't hang out with Johnny. He's not allowed to come over." Why is that? It's because you ever heard that you are what your friends are? You ever heard that hanging out with the wrong crowd can get you in trouble sometimes? And our parents were smart enough to tell us that as children. And can I tell you, the Bible is full of that, telling us today, hey, be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you look at. Be careful what you talk with, because it will affect you. When our friends, or people that we're around, when we're in an environment that is talking filthy and full of foul language, it's not very long before you're at the very least tempted to do the same. And I can tell you, I have been there. I have been there when the crowd that I was hanging out with and the people that I was with was in a very negative, fleshly, lustful type environment, and their conversation was just full of lust and full of carnality. And when you're around it, pretty soon, if you're not careful, you'll find yourself saying the same things. You'll find yourself almost going down the same path, because we are who we are around. When we've got music that's playing in our ears, I've actually had a conversation with somebody. We're talking about the music, that how we don't realize the dynamic effect that our subconscious has on us. When you walk into a store and you hear a familiar song, you will subconsciously, your mind recognizes that. Subconsciously, your mind will think, "Oh, that's that song." Now, you may not consciously think of it. You may not burst out singing it, but your mind goes to that song if you know what that song is. And what happens is we can get so naive or so immune to music that we just begin to let whatever is on begin to pour in. And can I tell you, I have, in my own life, maybe this is just me telling on myself today, but in my own life, I know what it's like to have listened to Christian music and have been pumping in positivity. And I know what it's like to go to work and I'm positive. And I know what it's like to go to work and my mind's on God. And I also know what it's like to have not listened to Christian music and your mind is just negative and your mind's in the gutter and your mind's not in the right place. Why? Because it matters what I listen to. It matters what I pump in to my heart. I stay away from, it's not just, we could be here all day going on what devices or what methods are used to bring anti-godly content, if you will. Books that are bad. I mean, I know that we argue, well, books are better than watching a bad movie. No, they're really not. Books can take you to the same place. Your mind will go to places that it does not belong if you are not careful. There's this device that every one of us have in our pocket. And I don't know if you've noticed, but you get a whole lot of junk email. You get a whole lot of, you go to Google, what's the best Mexican food in Tehachapi? And there will be a whole bunch of ads that are totally irrelevant to whether you want Mexican food or not. You can drive down the road and there's billboards about things I could not care less about. There's constant input of advertisement. And so I begin to look at it. I don't want to bore you, but I want to give you a couple quick facts here. Back in 2007, a marketing research firm, Yankelevich, ran a survey of 4,110 people. And they found that the average person sees up to 5,000 advertisements every single day. That was in 2007. Today, that number is even higher, and it's estimated that the average person sees around 10,000 ads per day, and only a quarter of them are something they would even remotely be interested in. Now, that takes into account billboards. That takes into account radio advertisements. That takes into account ads on your phone, junk email, all this stuff. But that's a lot of information that we are forced to process every day. 77% of average people on Google will search something at least 3 times a day. Google came out in 2007 with what we now call Google Ads, and they began to try and seek advertisers to be able to promote stuff. Google launched that actually in 2000. They launched their ad campaign, but by 2007, its revenue was $16.4 billion that they generated from advertisements. And that was 2007. 2022, it was $224 billion, 13 times more than it was in 2007. Facebook did the same thing. It began to, in 2022, it made over $113 billion in advertisements. I don't want to bore us with statistics and all this, but can I tell you, there is people spending billions of dollars to try and give you information. You are being bombarded every single day with choices and information and useless information and useful information. We have to be careful what we listen to. We have to be careful what we open up our heart to, because you and I, when you're just bombarded every which way, sometimes if we're not careful, you'll get spun. I've done this. I've clicked on an ad, so to speak, or a story that pops up on, you know, why skunks are black and white or something dumb. Why do I care? But you get sidetracked and you get on rabbit trails. Next thing you know, if you've wasted 2 hours of time chasing something that doesn't even matter, and you started out looking for something totally different. These ads are bombarding us, and I'm telling you, if we're not careful, it becomes part of the structure of our house. We end up building it into our life, into the way that we do things. But I'm so thankful that God gives us the choice to pick what we get to choose and what we don't. I'm so thankful. Can I tell you, it's pretty hard to go wrong when you're listening to Christian music and preaching. It's pretty hard to go wrong when that's what's being pumped in to your life. There's several good apps out there and websites you can go into. I'll put in a shameless plug for the Real Life Church app. You can download it. There's preaching. There's all this stuff is positive influence into our life, and I believe it makes a huge difference in our lives. Proverbs 3, chapter 3 says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart." You've got to be diligent. It's got to be intentional to get this word every day. Can I be honest with you? It's not easy to read the Bible. It's not something that I wake up every morning and go, I cannot wait to read the Bible. I cannot wait. There's sometimes I do, but there's many days that I wake up and it's like, I have to use the analogy of pastor's pastor. I have to grab myself and make myself read the Bible, make myself pray. You know why I do it? Because I know that it's important. I know that if I don't put this in, something else is going to be put in. We have to be intentional. The proverb is saying, bind it around your neck. Write it upon your heart. Don't just passively float through, but be intentional about putting wholesome things into our life. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." It's a whole nother message. I won't even go there on how we think really becomes what we are. It's you could spend a long time talking about what we think about. What we think about matters, takes us to places. Judas, this verse had always bothered me. Whenever I was reading a long time ago, it troubled me and it bothered me, and I began to study it out. Judas, the Bible says, through greed opened himself up to spirits that were against God, and eventually it took him to a place he regretted. Luke chapter 22, verse 3 says, "Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. Satan entered in. That means that Judas had to make a choice to let the devil come in. The devil does not have the power to come and overtake you if you are full of the Holy Ghost. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, the Bible said, I just read to you, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So it means that if the devil entered in and if the devil is now controlling and has dominion of me, I have made a choice to let him in. And this was one of Jesus' disciples. This is someone that walked with Jesus, that was involved in the ministry. But he opened himself up to the devil. And the Bible says that as he went his way, he went and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. When you get on the wrong track and you get spun off on the deep end, you'll turn on things that you should have never turned on. Oh, I guarantee you Judas wished he had never turned on Jesus. I guarantee you Judas wishes he could go back and turn it around and say, I wish I would have never betrayed God. But we do things that are not rational. We do things that are so against our spiritual path that we're on when we get out of the will of God, and we open ourselves up to things. It says that they were glad and they covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought an opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Matthew 27 is talking about the same time in Scripture. Verse 3 says, "Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought those 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders." He brings back the money they paid him to betray Jesus. And he says, "Here, I don't want it anymore. Here, just take it." And he said, "I sinned. I betrayed innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? See thou to that." And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. This was one of Jesus' disciples. Can I put it in real terms? That could be me. That could be one of us. That could be a preacher that you're listening to. That could be a saint on a pew. That could be a musician if we're not careful. We will go so far off the deep end that you end up hanging yourself totally farthest polar opposite from where you were just a short time before. Judas was handpicked by Jesus. Judas had every opportunity to be the next great apostle. If Peter had the opportunity, Judas had the opportunity. It wasn't like that Jesus had, you know, had said, Judas, I've got you reserved just to be not. No, Judas had equal opportunity to be something in the kingdom. But Judas opened his heart up to receive a spirit that eventually took his life. I'm going to hasten and skip over some things. But that is why, when we are faced with sin and carnality, that when it comes in and you're looking at it, there's always another choice. You don't have to take what the devil gives you. You don't have to just fall over and let him run your life and control you with all the thoughts and all the garbage that he tries to dump in. We have a choice. Because at the same time that sin is knocking on our door and the devil's there and he's saying, let me in, let me in, let me in. Can I tell you, Jesus is sitting there knocking at the door as well. He's sitting here saying, let me in, let me in, let me in. The difference is that God's a gentleman and he's going to wait for you to open the door and he's going to wait for you to accept him in. Have you noticed that sin is not a gentleman? Sin forces its way in. The devil's always trying to force us to do something. He's always trying to come against with a different battering ram against the door. God's knocking. He's just knocking, saying, hey, will you let me in? There's some people he has to knock for years. There's some people he's been reaching for years for them. And he's just saying, come on, will you let me in? Life's bad without me. Your life's a mess. You've been up and you've been down and you've been all over the place. Will you let me in? He's knocking. As I get ready to close, man's purpose was he was created to commune with God. Man was designed, if you read your Bible in Genesis, our mission, our purpose was God created someone that he could commune with, that he could have a relationship with. We messed it up. Man messed it up. And God had to send a redeemer, and God had to make a way that we still can have a relationship with him. But his greatest desire is to have a relationship with humanity. To have a relationship with you and I. God doesn't want just a one-sided relationship. It's not about, God, I need you to do this for me, and I need you to do this for me. He's not an ATM machine. He's not something that we just say, God, I need a healing. God, I need my car fixed. God, I need my utilities paid. God, I need this. No. Can I tell you what he really desires? Is to have a relationship with you. God really desires to have an intimate relationship with you, that yes, he's interested in our prayers. He's interested in our concerns. He's interested in our thoughts. He wants to hear that, but he also wants to talk to you, and he wants to help you, and he wants to lead you in a way that can get you out of trouble. That's the God we serve. God does not sit back and rub his hands and say, well, look at them. They got themselves in a mess again. No, there's a God that's merciful and loving, and he's saying, hey, I want to talk to you. I want to have a relationship with you. How do you do that? Well, it starts with repentance. The Bible says that light and darkness don't walk together. You can't be full of sin and you can't be full of carnality and full of the devil and expect that God's going to want to come visit at your house. God says, first of all, you got to get that mess cleaned up. You got to repent. You got to say, God, I'm sorry. I've been living a life that's wrong. I've been living a life that's full of just myself and full of all my ambitions. God, I'm sorry. I'm turning away from it. Then you get baptized in the only name, which is Jesus. You get baptized. He takes all those sins, all those things I've done against him, and he throws them and he buries them to where now I stand before him clean. It's a clean house for him to come dwell in. He doesn't come dwell in a dirty house. Paul said, know ye not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Hey, you can't have a bunch of junk in there and expect God to want to come visit. But once you've done it, then you say, God, I want you living on the inside, and he'll fill you with that Holy Ghost. And when you get the Holy Ghost, You've now got him dwelling on the inside. Now he's a permanent resident of your heart. And if you'd stand with me as I get ready to close, let me tell you what that does for you. Let me tell you what that does. All of a sudden, when I hear a knock on my door, and it's saying, let me in, there's a voice that's behind me. The Bible said, there's a voice that says, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't let that into your life. It's going to take you the wrong way. Whenever the devil comes and he's beating against my door and he's trying to push his way in, he's saying, hey, let me in. There's a voice called the Holy Ghost that's in my life that says, no, tell him no. He's going to take you the wrong direction. Can I tell you, you cannot win on your own. You cannot win without the Holy Ghost. But when you have the Holy Ghost, you can tell that devil no. When he knocks on your door, you can tell him no. The verse I read to you when we started says, this is Jesus. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. God wants a relationship with us. God's searching for a relationship. He wants some people that'll say, God, I open myself up. God, come visit me. I need you. I'm tired of doing it my way. I'm tired of all the junk and the garbage I've been living in. Oh, I need you, Jesus. Would you just lift your hands and talk to him right now? Would you say, Jesus, I need you. I don't care if you've been saved for 40 years. You still need Jesus. You still need to have a relationship with him. It doesn't matter if you're first time or been here forever. You still need a relationship with Jesus. Oh, I need you, God. I need you, God. Oh, somebody, would you talk to him today? Would you seek him right now? God, I need you. I need you. I need you. I need you, Jesus. I need you, God.
Well, I wonder today, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I wonder if there's somebody here that can say to yourself, I have heard the Lord knocking on my door today. I wonder if there's somebody here today that is tired. You're tired of trying to bear the burden alone. You're tired of trying to fight against things that you shouldn't be involved in or you shouldn't have in your life. And I wonder if you are tired of pushing against those things. You feel so alone. You feel so failing because you're pushing against a strong current. Can I say that even as we have heard today, God is standing at the door and knocking. And I wonder if there's one person today that would join me in opening the door to him. He will inhabit us. He will live in our house. But it's got to be a clean house. It's got to be a place that we are surrendered to him and let him take control. I wonder today, as we stand, I wonder if there's somebody that would join me around the front. In fact, it'd be good if everybody that would be willing to would just kind of move towards the front. We could just begin to seek God and to pray and to ask him to take control of our lives. Can you do that, everybody that's willing? Would you just come up around the front? You can stand, you can sit, whatever you feel. But let's bind together in prayer. Let's just begin to reach out for him. Can we do that right now? Let's reach out for him. Oh, God, I need you today. I need you today. I need you today. I need you today. Oh, I need you today. I need you today. I need you today. Oh, that's it. Just reach for him right now. He's in this house. He's here to make changes in our lives. He'll make changes if you'll let him. Oh, Somebody here today that came with a special need, and maybe you didn't intend to do anything about it today, but I feel like that God wants to move and touch somebody today before we leave. Now, I don't know if you've got a sickness in your body. I don't know if you've got maybe something nobody knows about, maybe a struggle in your life. It doesn't really matter. God knows. You know, and God knows. But I just feel led in the Holy Ghost to invite somebody to come up around this front. We're going to pray with Andrew here in a moment. And anybody else that wants to come up. The Bible says that if someone is sick, Book of James, it says, if somebody is sick, let them call for the elders of the church. Why? Because the elders have some sort of magic power? No. Elders, preachers, humans. Everyone puts everyone has needs, and I put my pants on one leg at a time, just like you do. But can I say that the Bible says that if you will call for the elders of the church, and they can anoint you with oil, that you can be healed. And I believe today, if somebody has a need in your body, if somebody has a need in your body, I believe that God is going to heal you today. It doesn't have to be big fanfare. It doesn't have to be special this or that. He's God. He's 24/7. He's here today, right now. And you can have a healing. We're going to believe it. We're going to believe it. We're going to believe it in Jesus' name. As they sing, I wonder if everybody would just help me join with me in praying, because God's getting ready to do something great. There's going to be testimonies out of this right now. Would you help me as they sing?
I need. Supply, so reach out.